Hey, welcome. This is SharePoint Dev Weekly. It is 16th of December, so we're heading the holiday season pretty soon. At least in Redmond, quite a few people are already out, which means that I have more time, at least personally, which is great. This week, me and Waldeck, we do have a visitor, but before we go there, let's actually try to recap always what we are on. What is the show about? So SharePoint Dev Weekly, weekly news, updates, discussions with our visitor, random topics on Microsoft 365, Office 365, Graph, SharePoint, and all of that. And then obviously, what are the latest announcements in the community side of the house as well. My name is Lesa Juvonen. I'm a Principal Program Manager from the Microsoft SharePoint OneDrive Engineering, and Waldeck is the second host. Who are you?
And my name is Vali Mustegas. I am Head of
Program. Who invited you here?
Rencore. You're cleaning lady.
Oh, okay. Okay, interesting.
And, yes. And together with us is today Tommy.
Hey, Tommy. My name is Tommy Gullis. I'm a team leader at Solvion, responsible for modern workplace solutions.
Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Tommy, for being able to come here. You had some snow issues a week ago. What was that?
Yeah, on Friday, Stefan and I were at the Office Developer Bootcamp in Zagreb. And going back, it was like snow for 80 kilometers, like really 15 centimeters, which means for our part of Austria in the beginning of December, like pure chaos. Yes. Because we are in the eastern part, there's not so much snow like in the west. And yeah, snow in a city, never a good idea.
But actually, to be fair, I was referring to the snow challenges which you had in Oslo, because you were trying to be our visitor every week.
Yeah,
this was really having a bad.
This was on Monday. This was the funny part. Going from a Scandinavian airport, and it closed down for 90 minutes because it snowed in December in Oslo.
So, what?
Yeah. Ooh. I always thought you guys were organized in the north and you can deal with snow, but experience shows different now.
I can't talk from behalf of Oslo, but I know that Helsinki airport has been closed for 30 minutes for the past decade, and that was for a strong winds, not for snow.
So. Okay. Yeah, I missed in Vienna, then I saw the bus like driving away like 1 minute more and I would have catched the bus, but yeah. Okay. It is what it is, I think.
It's good to have you here. Now, you said that you're working in Solvion. What are you actually doing? What is Solvion does? What do you do for a living?
I'm working with SharePoint now since 2007. We started back then like with two people. So I have an infrastructure, admin, developer, everything background. And nowadays, the whole company, around 50 people now, we are only focusing on Office 365. Skype, Teams, and SharePoint. And there we do like consultancy, development, and also user adoption and support in the long run. So the whole package.
Yep,
that's
cool.
What we basically do.
You said only SharePoint Online or only Office 365, so you don't do anything for on-premise?
We try to avoid on-prem as much as possible, yeah.
You're in middle Europe, so...
Yeah. We're still a little bit behind in that regards, but we if we can choose, we try to... go online, yeah.
Yeah, do understandable reasons.
Yeah, so...
You've also been an MVP for quite a long time, or some time, right?
I need to look.
How many rings do you have?
Yeah, exactly. I have 3 rings. I'm hoping for my 4th next year. Okay. So still a little bit rookie, I guess.
Yeah, comparing with the Waldeck. Waldeck, how many years have you been MVP now?
11.
Yeah, but you are 72, so it's understandable.
72 in what?
No.
Do I have 72 gray hair? No
gray
more
hairs,
than that.
Yeah, that's... Oh, that's how you calculate age. Okay, now I get it. So, just the random questions, Tommy, for you, which we didn't prep. So let's see if you can actually handle those things at all. Yes. So you said that you're doing only mainly Office 365 if possible. Why is that? Why is the cloud the thing what you want to do? Why only that side of it?
We see really at our custom projects is that many people approach us and say, we want to have like what they call modern collaboration. And then they start and saying, okay, we want to have an environment where we can share files and basically do the whole cooperation story. And most of the time they start with, we need it on-prem because of security and all those arguments. And then we do a workshop with like Teams, then what you can do on your mobile phone, what you can do with all the services in Office 365. And since I say a year ago, it almost always takes us just one day to make them think of, okay, maybe the cloud is the thing for security reasons, for reliability reasons, for how to adopt stuff. And then all those tools that are only available for the cloud are really helping making the mind shift.
Yeah.
That's really, really interesting to see, because it really just happened like a year ago. Before that, it was like, no, everything needs to be in Austria, in our on-premises environments. And this shift now, this really helps. Yeah. And for us, it's way easier to connect to the cloud than to a VPN, to some network thingy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
From my iPhone or whatever, how can you access their files with that through a VPN? Yeah. Potentially, there's probably
email.
A solution for
over
it.
Over email.
It's...
Like, what do you mean, how? Over email.
Yeah, of course. Or external partners and all those things.
It's really email, easier. Again, like the answer to everything, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because you want to send your files outside of your corporate control, right? Because you want to send them through an email to somebody else, so you don't have any control on them anymore. That's how it works. So
yes, exactly. And I mean, it's the. I mean, just the other week, I think
I'm being sarcastic, by the way. Just thinking.
Yes. In case it doesn't come through, like I think that when we record the video, we should have like a banner, sarcasm. Do not listen.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
Not a real advice.
I think we can make that happen for this video. We'll see.
The other week I was doing a webinar together with Yussi Roina, and we talked about like the usage of 365 across the workloads. And it turns out that Exchange is still like one of the most used services in 365. Right. So there are still like, sure, while the adoption of Teams is ever increasing and it's going really through the roof, it's still nowhere near close email.
True. But the email, we started offering email services in the cloud back in 2004 or something like that. So adaption and then Office 365 was released in 2012. Office 365, if I remember correctly. I was just doing a keynote last week on this timeline, so I kind of remember this. But the email was always the number one thing, what people want to get access and people want to get on the cloud. And why? So that they can access the email through their mobile phones, right? That was the whole point. When we started back in 2008 or 2006, when I started in Microsoft, the whole point was that I need to get easy access on my email so I can do business as long as I can access on email. Nowadays, you do business also outside of the email as well, which is good because email is just horrible. And I think that's what I was saying, and that drives adaption of the other things as well.
Yeah, and it's
easier. I mean,
moving people to from Exchange on-prem to Exchange online is way easier to move people from SharePoint on-prem that have heavily invested in customizing and moving them to the cloud. It's way, way more work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it's like... I recall when back in the days, that was 10 plus years ago or so, when I worked at a company and our email was on Lotus Notes. Like there was no opening email on your phone. Yeah. Like, there wasn't an option.
And you remember?
Exactly. And I mean, you couldn't even, like, at some point, some of us were able to do a hack where they had, like, admins would change something in their email account on Notes and they would be able to receive their email on Outlook, because otherwise you had to use the Domino client, which is like, the application looked and felt as it was built 10 years earlier, and then you had the brand new Exchange or Outlook, and it was like, yeah, I want to use that. Yeah, no, sorry, you have to use Notes, right? But I guess for many things, email is still the way to go, because like you communicate with externals who might not be on 365 or on Teams. So there's also the asynchronous piece to it, where you don't have to have an answer immediately. You don't collaborate immediately. You just want to ask something or communicate something, right?
But why can't you use that for Teams? Well, obviously, if they're not in Teams, then that's the given. But at least for me, the Teams is also why you can send a message and then wait until somebody replies. So it's not an instant communication channel either.
Yeah, but I mean, why would you if you do everything that you do in email in Teams, then Teams will become the new email.
Sure. But it's chat. It's a persistent chat rather than having a email back and forth sending, and you can't the historical thing, sure, it's in the email if you don't reply, if you don't remove it, but it gets messy. So having the same chat in Teams depends on a preference. So.
Exactly. And I mean, it depends on what you want to say, right? Because if you want to say a sentence, like, and you will send that over email and then you get sentence back, then you will actually be doing IM over email, which is pointless. But if it's something bigger, like I think email still has its place.
Which we need to actually talk about. So one of the things what I get all the time is chats in Teams, which are hi Vesa.
Is this better than dear Vesa?
Like 2 a.m. in the morning, or dear Vesa as well. 2 a.m. in the morning, there has been a message which is hi Vesa, and it's like, well, why are you waiting for me to reply? Can you please say, hey Vesa, I'm looking into guidance or whatever. Because it's completely fine, and don't ask how am I doing, because no offense, people typically are not interested anyway, and it's chit-chatting.
For that, I wonder, how long will it take? Because if, like, from what I heard, like, you bring it up regularly, like, what people ask of you, and some of it is public, some is not, but I wonder how long will it take until we finally get to the point where you can have personal assistant, meaning a personal bot that is trained to who you are, what you do, what you have access to, and then can filter all these kinds of requests. Where can I find X? Can you give me an update on Y? And you said, like 8 out of 10 things asked of you, it can already answer. And then maybe there are remaining 2 that will be you acting directly.
But I think that's precisely what Tommy and Stefan are actually doing, at least.
Exactly, which is why I'm bringing it up. Now we have our
guests. So what are you actually doing? You've been doing quite a lot of cool demos on that, technical demos on conferences and all of that. And what's the, well, I know the answer on this one, but what's the kind of the most common scenario? And we're going to have a code sample on that one as well today.
Yeah, for really integrating or starting with bots, the most common thing is really the Q&A stuff right now. Because with the Q&A maker in Azure, it would take you guys probably 40 minutes and you have a working bot inside of Teams already. And you can hook this bot up to an Excel file that lives in SharePoint, so it's secured. And then somebody in the company can fill in question and answers, and the bot can then already answer those questions. This is the super easy bot in a day workshop that really, really starts customers thinking, okay, what can we do? And for that, what Waldeck was mentioning, then there is the component of human handoff. So the bot realizes through language understanding or through answers from the Q&A service, I don't get a proper response. Then maybe I ask myself about, okay, what's the real deal with this question? What should I answer there? So you filter it, like you said, it through, and then hand it off to a human.
But so this bot is still, I think, based on the notion of, like, we have a bot for HR or for other things. So it's more departmental. It's not a personal assistant of me, right?
That's the simple stuff if you really start without code. But when you go deeper and really create a language understanding model up front, the idea is that you only have one bot and not like 10 bots, like for HR bot and then sales bot and then marketing bot. The idea is to have one. And based on the intent of the user, then you decide, okay, which knowledge base I'm going to ask to.
Right.
So I think they call it a concierge model, like somebody that really takes every approach and then goes in the back end, goes to different bots and gives you the answer back. Otherwise, you create like an environment where you have 10 different site collections with content, and then you have 10 different bots, and the user have the same problem. It's just another tool.
Exactly. I need
to go to
the and they the right need to bot. Know which one to ask up front. Yeah, which there's another.
No difference then. That makes really sense.
Yeah, and I mean, that is exactly why everybody asks Vesa everything, because it's easy to remember one person as opposed to everybody.
Okay.
But it's in every company, there are people that
there is a Vesa. There is a Vesa in every company.
Yeah, of course. And friends of us and a company in Netherlands did the same thing. They ask the person, the go-to person, just write down for 2 weeks all your question and answers. And then let's try out what the bot can achieve. And the lady was really happy because she had more time. And you can ask person anyways. But especially what we see for people that start new in the company, they are a little bit afraid of asking experienced people every little question. If they can answer the stuff they need with a bot, it helps everyone. Your time is saved and the answer is there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you, that's actually, you already touched it slightly. How do you justify, or how do, what is the return of investment in the bots? You're basically saving time from the most valuable people, or how do you sell it for your customers?
I'm saving time for those people, for those go-to persons, because that's most of the time experienced people that can do other stuff. And yep. The other thing is that let's say a knowledge base that somebody really took care of, I can guarantee that it's the same answer to all the questions. So I have a consistent communication. So I can make sure that everybody knows the company policy about the holidays and Christmas, and not like Karen said this and Joe said that, and I don't know, to have a real consistent communication. Those are the two main things.
Yep.
What we really see is the interesting part, and when they start with the Q&A, the next step is then that we try to make your data exposed through a bot. Something like, hey bot, give me the sales numbers from February for Finland from 2018. And then what technically happens is that I take the sentence and try to make a SQL statement out of it and ask a backend service and give you back its 14 million. And that's, blows away most of the customers. Like, what? It's so easy, not going to reporting service, login and different services, just to get the number back. That's then the next step then.
Yeah.
Nice.
And for behind of the scenes, you're obviously using Microsoft Graph for getting access to the information based on the persona. And that was actually one of the discussion points which we discussed in my French Modern Workplace keynote as well last week, was really around the fact that, at least even for me, when the Graph came, it's like really hard to understand. Okay, yeah, I can get access on my emails. And yeah, but why would I actually do that? No. It's actually the beauty of the cloud is that you have everything bound, not, let's say, around you. So I can have tasks, but I can access those tasks using this one, using that one, using that one, using that one. It doesn't matter. It's the same task. So it's the same consistent backend storage, regardless of where I'm actually accessing that. And then the Graph is the way to get to that backend storage. Mm. And sure, in this case, if we talk about tasks, will be probably Planner behind of the scenes, and they have their own whatever Azure-based storage and system, but it doesn't matter. It's a one API and saying, hey, need to get access on tasks. And it's actually beautiful. Files, same thing. Data, same thing. It's actually really, really interesting functionality.
And I think additional point to that is that through Graph, you can bring that into a context of your work. So you don't need to think, oh, now I need to create a task and I have to go to this other app or this other place where I keep track of my tasks. No, you can you can be working on a case or a dossier or whatever is it that you do, and in there you can have everything together. I think that was the hero image for, I'm not sure if that was for Graph, the property manager.
Yeah, that
where
was
you would
that was Office 365 API hero solution, which
exactly
failed on sharing properly, so people are not aware of what it is.
Yeah, but anyway. So the case was that you would be inspecting a building, and then you would be taking notes, looking at files, looking at plans, construction, and so on and so on. So think about it that, sure, at the end of the day, it's what? Images, files, messages, tasks. But it's input in context of your work, and as such, it's more meaningful than so now I will go to this task app to create a task. Then I will need to go to my mail app to send an email to whoever was the owner of that, and I need to look it up and see around. I mean, that experience would be really inefficient. Mm. And with Graph, you can bring that together in context of your work and make working more efficient.
Yeah.
And you can
and copy now with
the concept as well, because we what we see is that for customers, we start creating the customer graph with combining all their services to one API, and then in Power Automate, in Power Apps, in Teams, in the bot, I'm just calling this one API. And it's basically the idea is the clone of Graph, nothing more.
But the customer specific Graph, which makes a lot of sense actually. And then to be fair, you could actually then decorate the existing Graph with the custom schemas and custom attributes, which is a very super valuable thing as well, to make the existing Microsoft Graph more specific for your company. And then your company applications can take advantage of additional attributes. So It's really cool. I think we're finally getting to the moment where people are more and more understanding the value out of it and understanding the scenarios. We just needed to get to the level of scale of the Graph API as well. So sure, from a perspective of SharePoint as an example, the API in Graph is still relatively limited because the SharePoint has such a massive API and we'll probably never support all of the itty-bitsy details in SharePoint. But still, the breadth of the craft is just mind-blowing. So yeah. Now, please give me 1 second. I will need to go and say for the kids that they need to shut up or they will go outside of the house. So I will mute myself. You can continue for a second.
So now that I have the chance to talk to you just one-on-one, I'm really interested in the concept of personal bots. Have you had a chance to experiment with that? Just to have try to build, as I said, personal assistant as opposed to a like I will talk to the company bot. No, I want to talk to you, but behind the scene it will be the bot who will respond first. Basically, the same way you have a director or a manager, and before you get to them, there's assistant in the front.
Yeah, there's actually also an example. I think it's called Virtual Assistant from the bot framework.
That's all right.
Basically, that idea already. What we don't have to because we have that in a scenario. So, okay, I'm talking to the bot, and if I don't get an answer, then I get to the subject matter experts. But it's not like I want to talk to Waldeck, and I first talk with the proxy, and then it ends off. So that's not the maybe I don't even know you. As you as the expert, I just talk with the bot, and the bot then decides who is the person that's going to answer the question.
Okay.
So it's not really like because for what we're talking about, you knew exactly who is the expert up front. So it's easier for you
or
to
at least
go there.
I think.
But the idea is more that you just ask the question, and the system decides: can I find an answer, or can I make a what's called a human end of, and then maybe realizing, okay, it's now. At my time, it's 10 after 1 p.m., so Laser would be available, but in a few hours, not. So I ask another guy from a different time zone. So even more.
Based on calendar values and all of that.
Yeah, and all those things, like artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
So most of the time, still just an algorithm, but yeah.
Yeah, and whatever the machine learning and artificial intelligence actually means. So
it
is a regex.
That's true. That is true.
That's often the case, yeah.
Now, before we go to the articles, two things which I wanted to actually ask Tommy, just for the sake of having you as a visitor here as well. What if somebody who's watching this and listening to this, they want to be an MVP, what would be your recommendation on what they should be doing?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
there's a subcontext in the question, yeah. For me, the thing is, what do you mean with I want to be an MVP? I remember back in, because I prepared myself as well for the call, I think it must be 10 years ago when Waldeck shared his extended content tree report with XSLT transformation for SharePoint already. And I remember now a conversation on your blog between Andrew Connell and yourself like 10 years ago discussing the things. And I always thought of, okay, those are the guys that know the stuff and I want to know, or at least try to be same experience. And then I was introduced to conferences in 2008, was the first time I met Addis, so also an interesting event, going to a conference to Slovenia, and then I wanted to become a speaker. And getting the MVP took me, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, and I have no clue how it happened. I got nominated by some person, I think, in Austria, in Microsoft Austria, and that got through. But what for me the important part is you really need to like what you're doing. If it's blogging, if it's like contributing to community stuff, if it's speaking, not everyone is happy enough with staying on stage or being on stage and speak. Others prefer to make code contributions. And I have a little bit of problem of those things like, okay, what boxes do I need to tick to get the thing? Because I'm totally honest now. I don't have kids yet. So when I get kids, maybe I won't be an MVP anymore because I don't have the time because priorities change. But that doesn't really change my attitude to I try to invest the time. So those box ticking is not really the thing because, of course, we all know that there are ways around how to get the stuff. Just go to all possible SharePoint Saturdays and do a lot of marketing for yourself. But I don't think that's the good way of really getting it through. Let's put it this way, because I was out of the main community for most of my time, and I knew a few people that are still around, and I knew a lot of people that were around and popped out and didn't stay for long. But that's the same. It's not only for SharePoint. It's for sports. The same thing. If you really like what you do, then it comes from himself, and don't worry too much about it.
So the means of getting answered guidance would be, if you want to be an MVP, don't go to the MVP, because if you want to be an MVP, rather just keep on doing what you do and then share your learnings with others.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and for those things, I think it's for blogging, for example, it might be way better to blog like these big articles, like we're going to talk about later, like Laura does, for example, a really, really good job in her explaining those things, because I see, especially since 2 or 3 years, so many people that just reblog in 200 words what another person already said. And that's not, okay, yeah, then I have 20 blog posts a month. But is it really new content? Is it, it doesn't really need to be new content, maybe a new explanation, but something that really sticks and not this fire and forget stuff.
Yep. There's multiple. And to be fair, I can give it away that there is no actual tick boxing system internally when we are reviewing these things. So it's I wouldn't say there's a right or wrong way, but fair point. Good input on the value of things at least as well. Laura's blog post, which we're gonna check later today, definitely is a good example of a blog post where probably people will go in years and years. They will go back on that one.
Or a certain purple blog post for user profile configuration from Spencer. Everybody knows that.
True.
If you need to know how to, it's from 2010 or what? So still the best knowledge source for that scenario.
Or if you want to create web templates, you know, from which Lessa. Post you can actually get the...
Yeah.
Don't use XML anymore, please.
Well, turn to Paolo.
fair point. I was referring to feature XML where possible, but anyway, that's a separate discussion. But yeah, so there's definitely others. If there's a blog post where you actually spend your time on thinking is true, and there's a good structure, people will come back on that one. Those are kind of those founding blog posts, then defining the steps to move on. Now let's actually jump on the articles. So we'll get back on the random chat in the end as well. So let me share my screen. Then here we go. And you should be seeing what I'm sharing.
How to bake cucumber cookies. Please don't say
video?
Just hello in chat. No hello.
Yeah. So this one, before we go to the official articles, this just came as a note on our discussion. So the whole point of this one is doing these kind of chats, which is hello, waiting for the question. What had happened is like, no, don't do this. It's much more time consuming. You can be polite and
thing.
Then say, hey, I'm looking into these kind of things. Can you help me or not? Rather than hi.
Yeah, but that is the whole thing. Like nobody would do it in an email. Like in an
That's
email,
true.
You would just type
true.
The whole thing, click send, and then it arrives when it arrives, right?
Yeah. But it's one of those things where also in the Microsoft Teams, when you're having a chat or if you ping somebody randomly, my Teams is full of those things, where they say, hello, Vesa, how are you? And it's like, yeah. So 8 hours later, when I'm waking up or whatever, I'm seeing this message. It's like, well, should I answer this? What do you want?
Yeah.
Or it's like, can I help you? And then you get the question. Hey, being polite, and then give me the question right away. Much faster way of moving. So and then we can move forward. Anyway, that was a AKMS no hello, AKMS slash no hello. I think it was a just good one. Good guidance also for Microsoft Teams. Now, a few Microsoft articles. This is a big one, really big one. I think this impacts, Tommy, your area as well quite heavily.
Yep.
So Microsoft Office 365 now available from new Swiss data center regions. So why are people happy on getting this?
For two reasons. I mean, Swiss... Everything that comes from Switzerland has a certain aura of being secure and bulletproof. That's the one thing. But if you go deeper, I think that Switzerland still has more data regulation laws than the European Union has. So it's even one step added. So that's a really good thing for us. Yeah.
Which is a good point, actually. I've completely forgot about it. Switzerland is not part of EU.
No.
So it's isolated country inside of Europe, so to say.
Yeah.
Sure, they're part of Schengen, so you can actually drive through Switzerland without any border control.
That's
but
true.
It is an interesting point. And there's an additional level of a security and regulations in Switzerland and in Luxembourg. And when you cross the river, I think I can't remember the customer name. When I was a consultant a while back in Microsoft Consulting Age, I visited
don't name
those.
Any names.
Yeah, never mind. But it was crossing the river to their headquarters. They had different rules than crossing the river to the Luxembourg. So it's just slightly weird. But there's a small bridge.
But there are some weird things as well. I think there is the airport in Basel where they have three exits. There is the French exit, Italian exit, and Swiss exit. Like, what? And it's just exit from the airport. And I think it will get you eventually to the same place, but it's different exits. Like there are marks and like, what?
But anyway, this also shows the direction where we're heading. So already 2019, we opened up a data centers in South Africa and the United Arab Emirates. So the regional data centers. And then we already opened or said that there will be a one in Germany and one in Norway. And the old Germany one, which was I don't want to even say the code name for
Arc Forest. Forest?
Yeah, well, there we go. I just said that I don't want to even say the code name for Arzvald. It, and then you said it.
Well, it wasn't clear if you didn't want to say it because language barrier or because you didn't want to, let's forget about it and move on.
Thank you.
you gotta be really clear about your intention.
The D system specific data center, and that was already announced that it will be shut down and it's going to be replaced by a Microsoft one. So and that's the one which is coming in 2020.
But it's interesting to give an addition. We have a customer in Germany who always said no cloud, no way. And the minute that Microsoft said we have data center in Germany, they asked us how can we move.
Yep.
So
perfect. It's one of those things where you think about it, and I did some research on my last week's the keynote in Paris, really around and thinking around this one. It's interesting when you say that we move to the cloud. What is the difference between the fact that you're using a local data provider or computer provider who actually serves the servers for you?
But it's a whole thing about the data's host. Sovereignty
but this is a good example. Now, Office 365 is considered as a cloud. Now, if the Office 365 is a local data center in Germany, people are like, that's it. We're going to use
cloud. It's a trust business.
Yeah, it is a trust business, and it's an impression business as well. Absolutely 100% agree on that. So it's an interesting discussion point. And there will be more countries later on as well, because depending on demand and then depending on asks from the customers as well. So anyway, good direction. Now, some graph related stuff. So Microsoft Graph Insights API is now available in version 1.0. It's been available in beta for a while, but you can actually access this now in 1.0 endpoint. So that's pretty cool. So this is usage, trending, and shared information between things. So pretty cool.
Dell was in preview for a long time.
Yeah, it's been in a preview. And that's one thing which I think it's an ongoing discussion with Jeremy and Daryl and Yina and a few others, that how do we, what is beta, what is V1 and what is a V2? Is there a V2? What does
there
it mean?
No V2.
I know. But it's a kind of interesting ongoing discussion. What does this phasing mean and what does it actually mean? Is it now fully backward compatible for this moment forward and no breaking changes or not? Because we just did a breaking change actually on a SharePoint Graph side. Or we
really?
Said that it's not a breaking change, but we're no longer giving you any value out of this interval. Two weeks ago, we had the one Graph SharePoint news. I can't remember what it was. It was a count on a certain
was it
property.
Graph? I thought there was the SP REST API around the...
No, that was Graph on the Graph side.
Really?
So, okay, but anyway, that's an interesting. It's an interesting week because you cannot do breaking changes after it's officially out. Same for CSOM.
Yeah, because then you will have a V2.
Exactly. Which is a wow, interesting discussion. Not a simple chance and simple things to figure out how do we do this in the future. Anyway, Microsoft Graph Toolkit offers new tools and updates. I think we were getting new components. And also proxy providers and improvements and fixes. So the Graph Toolkit is a really great set of controls which you can super easily use in your single page application or in the SharePoint framework web parts, which will then kind of abstract the complexity of calling Graph, which isn't, by the way, complex, but hey, it makes it even easier. The next one, how to empower Microsoft 365 team with a Microsoft Graph and if it did. It's great. If it is. If this then that. But yeah, so and I noticed that this got a lot of attention actually in social media. So people really love the fact that they can you can now create more easily integrations with the if then that. And I think you can, well, doing rules, doing actions, doing triggers. So pretty cool stuff. A lot of interest on this one, definitely on social media. Good, good, good. This one from our good friends, Mikael Svensson, ex-MVP, nowadays a program manager in search experiences in Microsoft. For Microsoft Fast. Not a Microsoft. No, well, anyway. Maybe it's still a Microsoft Fast organizational name. It shouldn't. Anyway.
In Oslo. Microsoft,
yeah.
In Oslo.
Microsoft Oslo, yeah, maybe. Microsoft Search. Anyway, troubleshooting search in SharePoint Online. So this is his online book, which is available, KQL queries and how this works and all of that. And Mikael has been really the search guy from a long, long, long time. So
yes, since Fast.
Since Fast. Yeah. And he's been really fast.
Third book. Yeah, it's his third book already on SharePoint Search.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Well, I don't think there's a massive demand anymore for books as such, but I think he wanted to write down a story around the troubleshooting.
Until you have an issue with search, and then you will buy
exactly,
this book.
Exactly, and that's fair point. Now, on other things moving forward, this one we announced last week as well, or we promoted last week as well, so PMP Modern Search Solution, just making sure that everybody are aware of the URL that is available, a good documentation on what kind of web parts are available for the building and modern search experiences. I think the components, where is it? There's the web parts. So this one is led by Frank Cornu, and there's multiple different web parts, which are kind of fulfilling the same classic scenario as what we had in the classic search results web part. So you're able to configure, you're able to create templates, you're able to configure behavior, all open source, and you can get easily access on it. It is really, really, really powerful for now. And there's no out-of-the-box replacement or out-of-the-box similar capabilities for now. So this is really how you can easily build your modern search experience. Good. This one we talked about actually earlier today. You want to explain, Tommy, what this is all about, even though it's from Stefan. Yeah. Or who's Stefan?
I mean, he is just across the table.
Yeah, he's like, yes.
Is he still here? Yeah.
Yeah.
Stefan, say hi.
Yeah.
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 Stefan actually created a SPFX webbot a couple of weeks ago that allows you to use a chatbot from the Microsoft Bot Framework inside of SharePoint. And now he has added another version just to have a small button with an app customizer in the bottom part of your page. So you click there and then it opens up the web chat control and you can integrate your bot then inside of SharePoint. And I think you can configure the different site collections based with the central configuration list, save the secret there, and then it pops up on the different site collection for the end user.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. So this is really cool. It's basically it's adding that kind of a button floating on the top right corner, and then when I click it, it does the overlay on top of it. Technically, we do not have a native out of the box extensibility point like that, but it's a hovering button. We've seen quite a few of these actually being implemented by customers and partners, so it's understandable. It doesn't really break things because it's absolutely positioned in a certain scenario, but so relatively safe and a nice way of integrating things.
Yeah, and this is how many web pages also show bots on their sites. If you think of an airline or hotel page, it's most of the time that this something pops up and then says hello. It's the same idea.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, moving, so that one is an open source available in the SPDevFX extensions. Mm-hmm. There's a link in the blog post as well. Now, this one is from Laura. We mentioned this actually quite a few times. Laura writes really long articles, which are kind of really detailed and explanations on how things work. And this is around how to get started on building React advanced SPFX solutions. So really kind of an explaining in a simplistic language as well, in a simplistic way for getting started level on what things are, how to get started, how to consider. So really, really, really powerful. And I can imagine that this will be really widely used as a reference for many who start implementing stuff. So,
and that's what I meant. This takes time to create. It's nothing that you just write on the airport for 20 minutes of free time. So this really, really thinking behind it, and that adds value.
Yeah, Absolutely. Are you guys in Solvion? Are you writing stuff in React or are you using something else?
Oh, yeah. React.
Understandable, because there's so many other controls, so many other things which are available in React, which there's is a new version, as an example, BMP SVFX controls React library. So, and these are basically different controls, which it's now 1.16, which is coming out, but different controls which add additional functionalities for your web parts, like the placeholder is a super typical thing, or the web part title, super typical thing as well. So basically, you want to have a web part title, you can just place this control on your implementation, and that's it. It will take care of everything else. Or list picker, so you don't have to worry about where the lists are coming from. You put a list picker, you configure that, the lists are available. So really intended to increase the productivity of the developers, and they're using Office UI Fabric React behind the scenes. Office UI Fabric React, however, is not connection aware, so it's not behind. It doesn't understand how to connect to SharePoint, and these things do. So taxonomy picker. You don't have to worry about where the taxonomy is coming from. It just comes based on the configuration. So really cool. But anyway, new version out of that one as well. So this one is from Yannick Rickmans. Show any SharePoint paints as a tab in Microsoft Teams team. A blog post explaining how to make things happen and how do you actually set the URLs and all of that to make the connectivity to work. And use the custom app or configuration of the app and how to make the pages visible. So
that is a nice trick to do the SSO. It's coming from line 27 in your Teams definition you introduced from SharePoint framework. The URL you call in the backend. This layout page you're not supposed to call.
Teams logon. Yeah.
Yep. It works pretty damn good.
Yep. Yeah. So that's in the manifest file which we generate. So
yep. Yeah, but this is probably not an official API, so it could be that one day it will not be there anymore and everybody will be affected.
That's debatable. Fair point. I don't think we have properly documented this, and maybe we should document it. And when it's documented, then it means that it's free to be used. So because otherwise, I highly doubt that we would change this behavior because it would actually break potentially existing solutions. Yeah. So
yeah. Unless you say I need to upgrade my definition file.
We can't. The reality is that there's already millions of end users for a lot of this stuff. We can't go and say for whatever enterprise that, hey, by the way, those solutions which you have, you need to go and update them. It's like, yeah, we don't have anybody.
Well, I don't know the true scale of Power Apps, but at some point they had exactly that. They said, like, you need to recompile your applications or it will stop working in February.
I think in the case of SharePoint, we are more enterprise aware from day one because we have the enterprise aware history. We kind of think these things through. Or if it's a mistake, if there is a mistake, we need to fix it on our side rather than demanding our customers to do something because we just can't. It's not a sustainable model. We would lose credibility if we do that. So. Yeah. Now, this one, auto-populate user and manager using BMPJS, Office UI Fabric Persona and Craft Clients from SharePoint Samples or Varsekakar. I think he's been in the SPW Weekly in the past as well. But this is really around how to build a web part and using the Craft and populating then the people picker. I think we're using Craft here, unless I'm completely mistaken. We're using user profile.
The title said that it's using Graph, and there it goes. Step 5, yes.
Now, this is a good example. So we have an existing people picker from the Office UI, which is Office UI Fabric React. We have a people picker actually in the React controls, which we actually show in here. And then we have the people picker actually from the
Graph Toolkit.
Graph Toolkit. So to be fair, you could use the people picker from the Graph Toolkit as such. You wouldn't have to populate the users to make things work. But hey, there's multiple different options. And there's a different timelines where things were released. And that's one of the reasons why these things happen. So good. But basically, there's the people picker, which is functioning. Now, this one is from Antonov, site collection app catalog versus tenant app catalog. It's an interesting interesting comparison, multiple remote controls versus one. It's actually not too bad. That's not actually too bad. But it's a good kind of a blog post comparing the values between pros and cons of the tenant versus site collection app catalogs. So in like all of these cases, there's no right or wrong. Everything depends on what are you trying to achieve, and then there's advantages and disadvantages in both options. I personally like the tenant scoped much over so much better because then you have a centralized control. So if possible, I would actually deploy all of my stuff using the tenant app catalog and tenant wide deployment, unless you need to filter down, because then the site level activation of things are not as flexible. So, but debatable. So, and the last one is from Stefan Bauer, and this is around Lodash in SPFX projects. Important things to know. Waldeck, do you want to actually intro? What was this all about?
It's about the different things to take into account. Like it's just a collection of different. I know. It's about the collection of different things you have to know about using Lodash, because there is Lodash available already as a part of SPFX, and there is a subset of it available. Yeah. And here's like one of the things, the original package, right way to use it, and so forth and so on.
Yes. And how do you use that?
Exactly. Like, what do you want to use it for in the end?
Yep.
It could be that it's already the available because it's available in the subset available in SPFX, or you need to include the full package or make your own package, and so forth and so on. So different things to take into account before you want to use it.
Correct. And again, not right or wrong way, rather on, hey, these are the options which we have, consider these things and make your own decision, because that's the reality of physics. There's always multiple means of getting to the end result.
All the ways lead to Rome.
All the roads lead to Rome. Really?
Apparently.
That's what they say.
That's true. That's what they used to say a few thousand years ago. But
Only Rome and all roads led to Rome.
Exactly.
Since then, we have built many more roads.
But the Romans never came to Finland, so maybe there's not a Finnish saying.
Because there were no roads. Here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, like, what are you going to do this week? Any good pointers? Heading holiday season is coming.
Not yet. Season for me will start the next week. So next week I will be away. I'm away from December 23rd to January the 5th.
So we're not going to do recording then next week?
Sorry. So easy.
Before that, go for a holiday break with SP Dev Weekly as well.
Yeah, there you go. SP Dev Weekly goes on holiday. Before that, however, there's I have quite a lot of things to do on my plate. Like, we're doing at Rangor quite a few things, and one is really cool. Today we launched live SPCAF online. So SPCAF is our product that allows you to analyze the quality of your code, basically SharePoint framework applications, add-ins, whatever you might build in SharePoint, and tells you like what is there that you could improve in terms of security, performance, best practices, upgrade, and so forth and so on. And today we launched the ability that you can run the same analysis online. You don't need to install anything. You don't need to extend your pipeline. You don't need to have a tool on your box. You just upload your application to us. We run analysis for you, give you the results.
So just to be clear, Rancor is our official sponsor in this notes.
I'm just happened to be here.
But that's really cool, actually, because SPCAF used to have a free functionality as well, but you needed to install something to your computer and then run your things, right? So now it's
correct.
Different.
Yeah, and we have some additional ideas for what else can we bring to SPCAF to make it more applicable to how people build things nowadays? Because originally SPCAF comes from the time when we would build WSPs. Mm-hmm. So server-side development, Visual Studio on Windows. And that is, let's say, majority of our abilities are based on that. But then since a few years, we kind of started this shift towards SPFX. But it was still very much targeted to Windows development, Windows way of doing things. And now we have some new ideas, more ideas like, okay, what else can we do to basically help a broader audience developing more efficiently on SPFX?
Yep.
So stay tuned for updates.
Stay tuned. What about you, Tommy? What are you up to?
Yeah, I just realized that the guy you referred to in the last blog post, Stefan, talked about SharePoint de Vienna in a text yesterday. Yep. So we need to make sure to fix the date with Microsoft. That's the one community thing I want to do.
Dear Vesa, can we fix the date?
I don't think that he has the... Or do you know somebody in Austria to make this possible?
No.
I don't think so. Different channels.
Yeah, different.
That's the one big thing community-wise. And work-wise, we have our first Solven hackathon on Friday.
Woohoo!
So nice! Organizing stuff, and then let's see what we can create in one day before Christmas.
Curious.
Yeah. Are you taking off the next week as well?
The whole company until the 7th of January, yeah.
Cool. Two full weeks for everybody. That's really cool.
Christmas is like nothing. No customers available. We are not available.
Yeah, that's true.
Quiet time.
True. Almost like summer in Finland. No, just...
no customers
either
available.
Either one of the 2 days when we have summer in Finland.
No. Yes, exactly. no one's available.
For me, we're still looking into releasing the SharePoint framework 1.10 before end of this year. So
seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I've been working on docs already earlier today. So we are looking into making that happen. I can't promise you an exact date yet, but you can figure out if we want to do that by end of this year. So you have two Wednesdays.
It's going to be on a Wednesday, and you have two Wednesdays left, right?
Yeah. Why is it Wednesday?
I don't know.
We can use it on Friday, I think.
Well, never ship on Friday. Yeah, let's. That's not going to happen. But I can say that it's in days where we should get it out. So should be fine. We've been testing 1.10 out quite heavily. There's new capabilities coming out as well. So it's pretty cool to get it finally out. So the Outlook Web Access development add-ins, personal apps for Teams, the query extensions, and pre-allocated extension placeholders.
Nice.
Everything seems to work. Which is pretty
Christmas
cool.
coming early.
Yeah, yes. So most likely, obviously, the holiday break starts after this week pretty much. So you can figure out between the lines when the release will happen. Yeah. And it will definitely not happen on Friday. Friday is not the time to ship anything.
We will use it on Friday, let's say.
That might be the case, actually. That's a good point. I can't promise that, but it might be that on Friday you'll be able to use 1.10. So we'll see.
A Friday.
Cool. But I think that's it. Thank you, Tommy. We went quite long again on discussions. Good discussion, by the way. Great to have you on here as well. It is a pity that Austria is missing snow as well. We're missing snow as well. I can say from the back that
we're missing snow as well. We won't have any. I don't have the illusion that we will have any snow this year. We might have some snow in March.
Yeah.
There's some.
For a day.
Yeah, the forecast for Helsinki is also, it's not going to be snowy Christmas, so nothing to do. But it is what it is. So have a great week, and we'll come up. Actually, this is, oh my God, this is the last SPDF Weekly of the decade.
Or we could record something on Friday for the next
Friday.
Week.
Yeah, we could actually.
Kind of like, you know, like Back to the Future kind of thing.
Yeah, that's actually true. Let's try to make that happen. But thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Waldeck. We'll be definitely in touch. And thank you
all
of the listeners and watchers. Bye-bye.
Bye.